Well, turning your Bibles with me to Joel chapter 3, verse 14. As a pastor, you ever figure out how we try to get messages? In Bible school, they taught us how to get messages. They taught about four or five ways how to get a message. You go to Reader's Digest and figure out what they're doing in there. No, you don't do that. You do different things. You know, one of the best ways to get a message, of course, might not be always to say the best message, but sometimes God inspires you to teach on something. God inspires you. I believe that God sometimes really pushes His will in terms of gets your attention on what to teach. So that's for the really spiritual type of people. God speaks to you. He says, "Hey, Roma, listen. Go to this chapter." No, he doesn't say that. But he'll inspire you to do something. He'll put something in your heart. He'll drop something in your heart, and you know it's from God. And something happens inside you that you know that God's speaking to you. It's very, very clear. And so you get those inspirational messages that God puts in your heart. And other ways is just basically determine where you want your people to be. As a pastor, you look at the number of years. You say, here's what kind of feeding I'd like to give my people, and here's what they should look like after 5 years or 2 years, what kind of messages you would give. And so in school, they teach us there's different ingredients spiritually you need to feed people regularly. Anytime you teach on prayer, you can use that anytime. Anytime you teach on faith, you can use that anytime. There's certain topics that'll always bless you no matter what, because it's always God's will to hear those messages. So as a pastor, you learn how to feed people the Word of God so that they can get a good balance in their diet spiritually. Just like you would when you're looking at your own intake, natural food, you look at, I need these kind of groups of food to have my bones healthy, my blood healthy, my structure, whatever it is. So it's the same way spiritually. And or you determine what's going on in the church. You know, you need to correct something or you need to give the church certain direction. Something happened in the city. So in terms of the crisis in the city or in the country, so you give a message of faith and hope to people. Of course, you don't have to determine what kind of message if you're going to marry somebody. It's always a message about getting married. Or when someone dies, there's always a certain message. Of course, if there's young people, old people, there's always kind of a direction there. So anyway, you have to figure out different ways that you could get a message. So I believe, at this time, I just felt I checked in my heart for several days about what God wanted us to hear coming back during this COVID time. And I felt that the Lord was leading me to talk about decisions, because I believe people are making decisions for the summertime, the end of the summer, and the fall time. So we want to talk about how to start making decisions, how to make decisions, or getting direction in your life, kind of like topic. So Joel chapter 3, verse 14, it says here in Joel 3:14, I'm reading the New Living Translation, thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decisions. Everybody say, waiting. In the valley of decisions. Come on, listen. You're 2 weeks. Waiting in the valley of decisions. Let's say that together one more time. Waiting in the valley of decisions. So there's the Bible tells us right here, God is speaking to us. There are people right now in this very room right here, right, watching on live stream, watching on television across Canada. These people here are making the decision about something, and they're waiting to make a decision about something for themselves so that it'll be the right time or the right decision to make. And there's no guess in my mind, I don't doubt anything in my mind, that there's people in this room right now are going to be making important decisions for their lives. So for your family, for your own physical body, for your mind, for your family, there are decisions that you're going to be making that's going to affect you for a long, long time. And it's important for you to find the right thing to do in this hour. So decisions will determine our direction in life. Decisions will determine our directions in life. I want to just switch here for a second on my... So, decisions determine the direction that you take in your life, and the direction will determine your destiny, like where you are going to be ending up in the next 5 years. You have to, you know, I taught school for a number of years. I taught adults and adult education at the college, and we talk about things like, you know, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? How do you see yourself financially in the next 5 years? You know, recently I had to make some decisions, had to adapt myself into making financial decisions. But we know for sure that God wants us to participate in His financial plan and to stay in tune with God. God will always take care of us, but there's some things you have to make decisions on, whether or not you should buy a car. Can you afford it? Do you have enough faith for it? Do you believe that you'll have enough funds for it? You know, and so different things you have to do. So, so your decision today determines the direction on where you go today, where you're going to be going. And so there are many people that are waiting right now. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for some kind of direction. So your destiny depends on it. You know, what God wants for your life is very important to you. It's very important to the people. It's very important to God, of course. It's very important to the people around you, how you make those decisions. It matters what kind of decisions that you make, because it will affect you for years to come. It affects the people you love. Your decision will affect a lot of people, your children, your grandchildren, your whoever is in your life. It's important that you make the right decisions, because your happiness will depend on it. You don't want to make a decision that you weren't willing to pay a price for. And so, if you make the right one, even in tough times, you're not going to give up. Like my wife and I, when we decided to go to ministry, we decided that God, it's God's will. And Paul the Apostle made the statement whenever he wrote a letter. He said, "Paul the Apostle, by the will of God." He starts off that, you know, his letters that way, because he knew that God wanted them to be in the ministry. Of course, Jesus met him, called him to the ministry on the road to Damascus. He had that experience. Not everybody's going to have a Damascus experience. Everyone is going to get a Spirit-led decision. And so, Jesus prayed with his disciples. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants to... once you make a decision that God, that He's involved with. Jesus, before going to the cross, saying, "Lord, is there any other way we can do this?" Want to avoid the situation as natural man, but He went to the cross. He said, "Nevertheless, Your will be done." And this is a kind of prayer that we pray regularly, maybe almost every day, weekly, yearly for sure, that we pray this prayer of commitment to God. It's a prayer of making a decision. It's a prayer that, you know, consecration, a dedication, a commitment to God. It's something that we prayed. I prayed one yesterday. I said, "God, whatever you want for my life. I'm in my kitchen making my breakfast." You want a good picture? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That's going to go on the news today. National news. A pastor's making decisions for everybody. So you know, Jesus prayed. He prayed that prayer of consecration. Brother Hagin used to say, in our day and age, it seems that there's a little less consecration to God than anything else he's seen in the years that he's lived. In fact, it's more so now. You see, people are not consecrating themselves to God. They're not making their life holy unto God, which means that they're saying that God has decreed a good portion of their life to doing His will. People never consider God when they're making decisions, when they're moving, getting a job, when they're maybe even marrying somebody because they just love somebody because their flesh loves someone. Your flesh could love something that God's not involved in. Going to buy a nice truck, your flesh might love it, but your wife might not love it. So, you know, you have to understand because you're a triune being, and so you're going to have to you're going to have to contend with your flesh, or your lusts in life. You're going to have to contend with your mind. If your mind's not renewed in the will of God, you're going to make decisions outside of the will of God. Of course, your spirit is okay. So we have to determine some things. So our happiness depends on how happy are you depends on whether or not you're in God's will as far as that's concerned. You know, you don't have to be gleeful happy to be happy, but at least you know if you're in the will of God, you can be content. Amen? Because not everything's going to go always smooth, right? Even if you're in the will of God, not everything's going to be smooth all the time. You know, you're gonna go through difficult times, but it's nice to know that God's with you during a hard time. That you know God's going to take you through this hard time, and you're going to come out at the end squeaky clean. Amen? So, you want to make the right decisions so the people that are with you are going to enjoy life a little bit more. Amen? So, it matters to people that you make the decisions. When you look back in your past and you see how important certain things were, the decisions you made, that you made the right decision and how it benefited other people around you. Just imagine if you made the wrong decision, where would you be today? Where would you be today if someone in your life could have made a better decision about you, about you being in their life? How it affected them, affected their life. Your decision affects other people. Theirs too. So we all matter together. Just imagine thinking about that for a moment. Thank God that the Bible tells us, or God's Word tells us, and teaches us how to make right decisions. So you're not alone in making a determination. Now, sometimes you have to be willing to submit to God because you have to figure out whether or not your flesh is talking to you. Or your spirit is talking to you, or just your mind without, you know, the Bible describes a mind that's empty, void of the will of God. You can make decisions that your mind is not even in the will of God. And so people can get wrong in those. So there's a valley, it's called a valley of decision. It's a low valley. It feels pretty low. Many people are in that valley today. And indecision, or not making a decision, is still a decision. You say, well, I'm going to push that off. I'm going to procrastinate, leave it off. And then and then life itself, or people themselves, make a decision for you. You know, that's pretty, how would you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, when you allow people in life, or life make decisions for you. You know, so you're not, you know, I think we should be more assertive in making decisions. So let's look at some Bible here, since we're talking about the Bible. Psalm 32:8 says this. This is God's promises about decisions in life and God leading us. The Bible says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. God says, I'm going to guide you. I will instruct you, says here. This one says, is this the King James? I'm looking at the New Living Translation. I thought I gave you my stuff. So I think I sent this to Kendra. So let me just give Kendra this so you can have it. I don't know your address. You need to give me your address. Well, I'm giving it to Pastor Ken. So, Pastor Ken, you can give this to your daughter because I don't know her address. You can just send that to her. So anyway, this is very often I'm going to teach from the New Living Translation or the Amplified Bible, because sometimes you have to sift through the King James to figure out what they're saying, unless you're so spiritual that you're above everybody else, that you can connect right away. So anyway, let's go to Psalm 32:8. New Living says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Well, we want to be on the best pathway that God has for us. We want to have God advising us, and we want to have God watching over us. That's a good feeling, good secure feeling that we have, right? So the Lord says that He's going to guide us. Now look at over here. I'm still reading the New Living Translation. Go over to verse 9. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule. I'm not sure how you say this correctly, but if you have a horse that's dumb, or let's say he's not trained, a horse that's not trained, you can't really tell him to do much. Especially if you have a stubborn mule. So God tells you, don't be like a mule. And he's stubborn. You know, he knows he should go that way, but he's not going that way. So that's what it says there. Don't be like a mule that need a bit and bridle to keep it under control. So you know what a bit and bridle is, right? So we don't have to teach about that. So that's the way you can maneuver a large animal like that. Let's go to the... the Passion Translation. Do you guys have the Passion Translation? How many of you have the Passion Translation? I know you all reading, you're very passionate about the Word of God. This is the Passion Translation of this Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Can we get that up there if you have it? Do we have the Passion Translation in the house today? Huh? You might not have it. Just go on Google. Google has everything. So let me just read you the Passion Translation. Believe me, this is what it is. Okay. He said, I heard the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing you and guiding you along the pathway of your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along the way. Just come with me. I like the Passion Translation. So if you don't have a Passion Translation, I would say to download it on your Bible. If you have a Bible, you know, this little black, little brown Bible that they have online. What is that called? Huh? The Bible app. How many of you have the Bible app? Okay. The rest of you have to download it. Okay, so it's better for you if you're writing notes, if you want to put it on Facebook, if you want to send a nice, easy translation for somebody to read. Not everybody's up on the King James, so you can send a nice translation to them and so that they can understand. The best thing you can do is put God's Word forth in someone's life. So God will instruct you and teach you, guide you. That's His promise. You know, yesterday I put on, sometimes I'm reading, I read the Bible, I read the King James, I read different translations, then I read another translation of the same thing. I read the book of James twice. Yesterday I read the book of James over again, and I looked at it from different translations, the Living Translation, sometimes I read the Good News and see what it says there, then I got the Passion, and I start reading it and for myself. Then sometimes something comes up to me, I'll cut it out or I'll copy it and put it into a note. So I might use that. Somebody could use this, and I know friends of mine that could actually use that, or the people need to hear that. So I put it on yesterday. Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, you know, it says, all of God's children or God's sons and daughters are led by His Spirit. That's what it says in there. So you can understand this, that in life, God promises to lead you always by His Spirit. God always, His promise is to lead you every day by His Holy Spirit. The problem is most people don't take time to listen to God. They're too busy. They got to rush off. They got this project. They got all these things. They got Netflix. They got, you know, whatever, all their Facebook buddies, all this, Instagram, whatever. You know, you got to tweet something. You got to do this, that. There's no time to get alone and talk to God. So God can speak to you in your heart and lead you. So that's a big problem, and we have in this day as far as having the direction in life. And most people ask people about what they should do, like myself when I was asking somebody the other day about what should I do? about you know, of course, you want to get the best advice from everyone concerning if you're going to purchase something large, like a nice truck. So I don't know. I don't know what the key is. I'm asking the Lord the key of how to buy a nice truck with an outboard motor, nice big boat, and all tackles and everything without having to suffer for it. I see some people are doing that pretty good. So the Bible says He will help you in making decisions. So believe the Scripture that it says that God will hear your voice and God will listen to you. He will answer you. So discipline yourself to hear God through Bible reading and listening to your own heart. So if you're going to hear God, you're going to have to read the Bible and meditate on it and be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Pay attention to Him. Because you cannot know God's will outside of the Bible. You have to know what the Bible says. If you don't hear the Bible speaking to you, then it's not God talking to you, it's your flesh. If you can't find Bible verses for it. Psalm 48:14 says that for that God, the New Living says that for that, what is God like? He's our God forever and ever, and He will guide us until we die. That God says He'll guide you till the day you die. That's His promise to you. He's going to guide you. He's inside you right now. But you're not dying. Well, you're closer to your death. Every day is closer to your death. You ever think about it that way? Somebody said this, you know, today, philosophically, you know, you're closer to your death than you ever were. You know, but you're closer to Jesus. 72. P-72. PS-72. That's Psalm 73, excuse me, verse 24. Psalm 73, 24. I got a little excited about bingo. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. God says, you know, He's going to guide you. There's, you know, your destiny is glorious. That's what He says. You're going to have lots of fun. You think you're having fun now, but wait till you get to heaven. Well, you don't want to go to heaven now. You want to enjoy life here, have heaven on earth, and then have heaven. Some people live like hell here and then go to hell. You don't want that. You don't want that. Psalm 58, or Psalm 48, 17, teaches you the way you should go. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the path that you should follow. So these are scriptures that substantiate the fact that God will lead you. There's enough scriptures to show you that God will lead you. That's Psalm 48, 17, the New Living Translation. Let me give you Isaiah 58, 11. God continually will continually lead you and satisfy you. The Lord will guide you continually. Everybody say, the Lord will guide me, continually. So in other words, He never stops. giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Look at you, fresh people. Just so fresh. He will lead you. He will lead you. And He will lead you out of sickness into health. I believe that with all my heart. He leads you from poverty into abundance and prosperity. I love it. I like having plenty. Enough to live by and to give by. We need peace in a time of trouble. God can lead you out of trouble into peace. So every day we need to hear from God. Every day we should be in the Bible. We should read the Scriptures. Every night we should read the Scriptures. We should think about the Bible all day long. It should be as a melody in your heart. God should be talking to you regularly. God told that He will lead us in every aspect of life, the Scripture says. Don't doubt no matter what you see or hear, but begin to look at the Scripture. Ask God to direct you every day. Say, God, I need your wisdom today. Confess that God is leading you. That He leads you all the time. That He leads you no matter what's going on in life. That you can sort out all the junk that's going on and you can really get to the Word of God. Psalm 37:23, the New Living says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. So we can expect He'll direct our steps. He delights in every detail of your life. The Bible says every single detail of your life, that He is involved with everything in your life. Every detail. Sometimes we think that He's not that interested in you. And so we go along and do things on our own, leaving God out. So He is interested. Notice that's what the New Living says. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and He delights in every detail of their lives. He orders our steps, it says. I heard the Bible, the Word of God, in my heart. You know, I was thinking about some things, and the Lord spoke the Scripture to me, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trusting in the Lord is relying on God, relying on Jesus. It means depending on Him. Putting your faith in Him. And putting your faith in the Word of God. You can't trust God without the Scriptures. You can't trust the Word of God without looking into the Word, His will. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. In everything we do, we say, Lord, is this what you want for me? What do you want me to do here? Should I go up on that ladder or not? Or should I let Pastor Ken go up on that ladder? And we were painting our house, and I was dizzy for a couple of days. I was taking some medication that made me dizzy, and I was afraid to go up there, so I let him go up. I said, you want to go up there? He said, oh yeah. So I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. So a lot of fans said, he's a brave man. Praise God. I'm glad he's brave. But so he helped me out with this really, really good, because I didn't want to fall. Because, you know, we were doing some hard labor there. The 50 and 60-year-old men on the roof painting. And I let him go a little higher than I did, though, because... So if I fall, I could maybe have a chance. I said, if he falls, I'm going to catch him. Imagine that I could believe for human strength on the bottom, carrying a 200-pound man, falling in my arms. But I can't believe that God will heal me and keep me up there. Well, according to your faith. I believe stronger on the ground. Amen. When I'm grounded. How about you? Eh? Yeah, I believe stronger on the ground. I just believe my feet should be planted on the ground. And but Pastor Ken, oh, I'm going up there. Thank you, Pastor Ken. I appreciate you. God, much reward is coming. Check is in the mail too, though. So follow your heart and not your head. How many people know that sometimes your head is stupid? Yeah? Because it follows what you want to do, how you feel about things. Don't ever ask yourself how you feel about it. Ask yourself, what does God's Word say about it? Don't say, how do you feel about it? It has nothing to do with following God, how you feel. There's a lot of things you'd feel you'd like to do. I'd like to eat a pail of ice cream right now. Amen? So it's not always good for you. So, follow your heart, not your head. And then sometimes there's a conflict that goes on with your heart and your head. That's your soul. Your soul has to do with your feelings and what you imagine, and what you think about things. But if your imagination it doesn't match up with the will of God or God's Word, then you're going to have to stick with God's Word. Right? So let me just give you an advice, all you young people. Well, there's two of you in here. If you're going to marry somebody, you got to marry somebody who loves Jesus more than you. And that they're already serving God before you find them. Not you're going to marry them and then change them. How many found out that marrying somebody and trying to change them doesn't work? Huh? It doesn't work. In fact, after they get you, they get worse. Ask Pastor Ken. His wife told me a lot of stories. Find out first if they love Jesus. When I met my wife, she loved Jesus. She went to church on Sundays. She was a Pentecostal. She was a Lutheran turned Pentecostal. I was a Catholic turned Pentecostal. And we got saved. I got saved, and I met her in school. A good place to find a wife is in school, in Bible school. That's why we're sending Luke to Bible school this year. Luke is going to Bible school. Pray for him that the right one comes. That we sent another guy to Bible school once. He never came back. Now he lives in Texas. Once in a while he visits us and so on. So Peter, if you really want to get married, I tell you, go to Bible school. I sure believe it. No, that's not really true, because I see a lot of people come out there disappointed, come back from Bible school, they're disappointed, didn't find anybody. Came back home, married their second cousin. Come on now. He said, you got to be a third cousin. No. People want to keep close these days. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your head. Because the Bible says, we have to renew our minds, making sure it has God's Word in it. Okay, no more laughing. This is very important stuff. So, ask God for guidance. Ask God for guidance. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. So in James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, I'm reading the New Living here. He said, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So God knew you a long time ago. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. This is Jeremiah. It says, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you, for I am too young. Sometimes people, anybody could be. You could use any excuse why you wouldn't follow God. This guy says, I'm too young to speak for you. Who's going to listen to a young man? Then when you're old, they don't listen to you anyway when you're old. Right? People, you have to be in the right age. What is the right age? So he says here, I'm too young. Who's going to listen to me? He says, the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. For you must go wherever I send you, and whatever I tell you, don't be afraid of the people. For I'll be with you, and I'll protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. How many know that God protects His people? He protects you. I know He's protected me from different things over the years, and I'm able to still stand. Now, was I scared? Sure, I was scared, but I'm still here. The first decision you make in your life, you have the responsibility to make decisions for yourself. Don't look to other people and blame them because you've made the wrong decision. Make up your mind to make the first step. This is the first thing you do. If you're going to make a decision, first thing you do is first make it your aim to make a decision. In other words, you make a decision that you will decide to make a decision. I know that sounds kind of funny here. I English wasn't my first language. I blame that. I have an English major living with me. So, you know, you're reading the stuff there. My wife makes sense of all my notes and she puts it down for me. I'm talking about the newsletter. So she does all my newsletters. Let's give her a hand because she does all the newsletter. Yeah, so. Thank you, honey. Stand up and bow. She says no. She's very humble. Okay, so first make it your aim to make a decision. So if you don't make a decision, you say, what if I make a wrong decision? Well, God says if you make the wrong one, I'm still going to lead you. But if you don't make a decision, your wife is going to make a decision for you. Or your husband will make a decision for you. Or your kids will make a decision for you. In your own home with your family, if you don't make a decision, your kids will run the house. Or your kids will run your life. Right? So get rid of them as quick as possible. Somebody said, don't serve them cheese. They stick around a long time, you give them cheese. So make a decision to make a decision. Determine to make a decision. So I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to collect myself together and find the best of God's word, what He says in His word, and I'm going to make a decision. So be responsible for all your decision making. Say, I'm responsible. I'm making the decision myself. And don't blame people. Don't try to shift blame. You know, there comes a time in your own life where you have to make your own decision. You don't have to. You can't depend on everybody. People calling friends all the time, what should I do? Well, after you get some counsel, then you have to make a decision anyway. So, Micah 7:5, the King James, New King James says, don't trust in a friend. Don't put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies within your bosom. Now, you don't have to use the second part, but you don't always have to depend on other people for your decision making. You ever notice that you go with friends to go out after maybe church or somewhere? You say, where do we want to eat? And I don't know where I want to eat. Where do you want to eat? I don't want to know. You make a decision. You're still driving down the road. You still haven't determined where you want to go. Then when you get to the restaurant, you look at the menu and say, what do you want to eat? I don't know what to eat. What do you pick? What do I not know? So I like, that's why I like Pastor Ken. He just determines, I'm having steak. That's it. But your money. So you just make a decision. So don't be led by people. Other people want to be led by signs and wonders, and they're very spiritual. They say, you know, I need a dream or something. I need to hear a voice from heaven. I need some kind of sign. You know, so a vision, yeah. You know, or God sent an angel over here. Should I buy this Ford Mercury or whatever this vehicle is called over here? They didn't make Mercuries anymore, did they? That used to be a long time. I had a Mercury one time. That's why I'm saying that. My whole life is coming out. But we have to make decisions. Buying a house, where do you want to live? Well, I don't know. Russia. But buy a house. Some people are led by superstition. A crow came by and tapped on my window. While I was making the decision, I heard three taps. It must be the decision, so let's go buy the house. People make supernatural, they want to be led by supernatural visions. Not everybody's going to get a vision. In fact, none of you is going to get a division. But God promises you that He'll always lead you by His Spirit. That's what you can determine. But we're not going to receive visions. I really, you know, as a pastor, I've heard so many people, they're always led by some kind of prophecy. You know, somebody prophesied over me. I heard this prophecy, so I'm making the decision on that. Why don't you just make a decision based on God's word? And go by there. So make a decision. He's going to lead you by His Spirit on the inside. The Bible says there's something in you called the witness. Everybody say the witness. The witness in there. You're going to say, oh, I got to make that decision. Make it right now. So you're going to sense something on the inside of you that says, yeah, that's the right decision. You know how you knew that you're born again? The Bible says that by His Holy Spirit, God told you you're born again, that you're His child. So all throughout life, from then on, He's going to lead you the same way like He told you you're born again. On the inside of you, you're my child. In that same, I'll say this feeling, it's not really a feeling, but it's a spiritual something on the inside of you. It's called a witness. Oh, yeah, that's the right thing to do. It's amazing. And sometimes you try to look for outward things, you know, to show you you're in the right space. Am I in the right space? Is this the right thing to do? Well, don't look to signs. Don't look to different feelings. Look to the Word of God for everything. Trust Jesus. Trust the Word of God. Trust His Holy Spirit. He is going to lead you and direct you. You know, here's something. We'll just finish here a couple of minutes. The Bible says people get upset, or at least somebody said this earlier, that people get upset when they say, you know what, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. They say it like that. The Lord told me. How many of you have ever said that? The Lord told me. Nobody here. Oh, there's a few people in here. The Lord told me. But you know, the Lord did tell you. And He's been telling you a lot of stuff that you never did listen. But He's been saying different things in your life because you're natural man. He wants to make all the decisions through your lust and your own desires of your own heart. And you shut God out, and so you make decisions without God. So we shouldn't ever be mad at people or say they're crazy to say that God led me or God told me, because that's what's supposed to happen. But you should contradict them in the sense that if God told them to do something outside of the will of God, then you said, no, God didn't lead you. Because we know the will of God says here that He's not going to lead you to do this, because that would be contrary to the will of God. The Word of God wouldn't, you know, if God told you to steal something, you know, something like that, or God told me, don't go to church, that wouldn't be God's will. I've seen people that didn't decide they're not going to go to church during the summertime. And that affected them for life. Because down the road, it affected other decisions they made. And they took a long journey, and it took them a long time to come back over the years. And some of them try to get back. Are you trying to get back? Well, thank God you are. So, it's not some physical something, it's that voice. Here's John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That's what God says. Jesus said, my sheep, are you His sheep? He says, you'll know God's voice. Hearing the voice of God. So God will not lead you intellectually. He's going to lead you by His Spirit. Your heart. You must keep your heart in good condition to hear the Spirit of God. Your heart is crucial. Proverbs 4, I believe it's 20 to 23 over there, says that it's crucial that you keep your heart clean. Like when you hear God, if you're practicing carnality all your life and you try to hear God, suddenly you're going to have a hard time finding God, because you're going to have to get all the garbage out of your heart. You know, there's anger in there. There is fear in your heart. There's all these things in your heart. That's why Paul said, I keep my conscience clear to hear God. So when hearing God, you must keep a clear conscience and get the sin out of your life. Like it was said this to me. Most of us done our spring cleaning. Some of us are still cleaning up. And if you had a closet that had a bunch of stuff, you just threw stuff in there all the time. All your stuff you just threw in there. And whatever, dirty stuff, clean stuff, you just throw it in there. And then when you want to look for that item, you can't find it. If you look under your bed, I don't think you guys would have that, but you look under your bed, and there's a bunch of stuff under. I look on some beds, I just find a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff here. Here's this, we had this item there, that's been missing. And there's some food items there. You know, and there's creatures there looking at you. There's a whole pile of stuff under your bed. And so, but if you turn on the light, turn on your phone or something, put a flashlight in there, and you see all the stuff in there. So that's how people's hearts are sometimes. They put a lot of stuff in there, and when they want to find the will of God, they can't find it because it's so cluttered. Keep a good heart. And so when you're making the decision, you won't have to fight with all the rest of the stuff. Let's go ahead and stand up, please. Hallelujah. Keep a clean heart. Thank you, God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God promises to lead us. He promises by His Holy Spirit. He's going to do that for us. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you right now. We want to thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you by your Spirit. You're leading and guiding every one of us. There are decisions. People are in a valley of decision right now. You don't know where to turn, right or left, to go forward or not to make a decision. We thank you, Father, for counsel, wise counsel of family, friends, and around people, giving counsel, doing their best to lead people, pastors and leaders, spiritual guides, and different ones that are helping people. We thank you for all these people that are helping to bring into a place where this person will make a right decision to do the right thing. We give you praise, Father, for the Holy Spirit. You said in your word that you will lead us until the day we die. That you're leading us every single day. There's not a day that goes by that you're speaking to us. And so, Father, right now we're asking for the mighty counsel of the Spirit of God to work into our lives. Some can avoid disaster today by making a turn and going the right direction into the will of God, the plan of God for their lives. The decisions they make today are so important. Only you can direct them. Only you, by your word, can give them the right thing. Give them safety and protection. We thank you, Lord God, with all the people that's given us good advice. We thank you for their wonderful advice. But only you, Lord, your word. So right now, we pray the prayer of dedication. Rededication. The prayer of submission. And decision and to turn to you. So as a family of God, as a church of God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, every one of us here, we say, Lord, may your will be done in our lives. We submit to your plan. We submit to your purpose. We submit to the call of God upon our lives. We say, Lord Jesus, take all of me, spirit, soul, and body. Right now, we submit to you. Whatever you want, like Jesus said, may your will be done. In my life. Thank you, Lord. I turn from those habits and those sins that have took me away. I'm turning to you today. Forgive me, Father, for doing my own thing. We give you praise for the mighty Holy Spirit of God in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing people in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. Healing. It's flowing through your entire being. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Healing, health, restoration, refreshment to your spirit, refreshment to your soul. Release the burden. Release the care. release distress in the name of Jesus as God cleanses, restores your health, restores your mind, restores your soul. Burden be lifted in the name of Jesus. Healing to restore your bones. Healing to restore your heart. Healing to restore your blood. Healing to restore every part of your being. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be made whole. Let the will of God, angels of God, open war. Open wide those doors. Ora nishi lamanoso mokredeshi de kramasatashimo. Thank you, Lord. It's open wide. The doors have been opened. Woo! Glory to God. And you're moving through a new avenue, a new level, a new place. A place, oh, that is strong sense, a strong dedication. Nothing will move you. Nothing will shake you because you know now that you're now in the will of God. You know now that you're nothing will shake you from God. God says, him that I have hold of my hand, nothing will take him or her out of my hand. I want to thank you, Jesus, right now that nothing will be stolen, but things shall be restored even more than it was before. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord God. We give you praise, Jesus. There's healing in the room right now. There's healing in the valley right now. The valley has been made low in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mambarakishi. Mandarosa. Oh, come on, pray. People, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, lama. Sitelebasa. Come on. Oh, mandiri shitelemana. Kasatelemasi tebalobosa. Somebody, you've been having a heartburn in the name of Jesus. Just it's gone in the name of Jesus. You'll never have that again. You'll never have that heartburn again in the name of Jesus. Somebody's been having, I don't know what it's burning in your ears. In the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Babara Kishate Malamaka. Somebody's been bothered by back situation. I don't know what it is. Over the top of the higher ever area of your back. You're released right now. You're released right now in the name. In the name of Jesus. Healing. Healing in this room right now. Healing in this room right now. Ha ma ma de deshi. Oh braka samba do boshe baka de deshi. Ha 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 ha. The devil's liar. He's a liar. Oh bro kishin de malamasa. Come on, bring the team up here. Oh namasi telebe sombo kolo boshin. Ha 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 ha. Come on, listen to your spirit. Come on, quickly, people. Oh, run up here. Mamara basiti. Amaka santa kara mosu. Amanadeshi. Manta dasiti. Mandada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Raise up a standard. Raise the will of God. Lift the word of God. Make it clear to yourself, God's word.